As usual, the way I prepare for a Sabbath school lesson is just pick topics and then see what happens. So today we're talking about two things, and you're going to get to choose which one of the first ones, because I don't know what's going to end up anyway, so might as well just leave it in your hand. We're talking about repentance, and we're talking about forgiveness. So which one you want to talk about first? Forgiveness or repentance?
Forgiveness.
Who picked forgiveness? All right, Rodney, we're going to talk about repentance. Oh, Rodney looks sharp today, so we'll go with forgiveness. All right. Here's the question. When are you forgiven? I want you to think about that. When are you forgiven? Ah, I see a hand.
You're forgiven before you even need forgiving.
Okay. Interesting thought. Who else wants to chime? Yes.
Well, if you interpret that the plan of salvation was set at the foundations of the earth, it was before we ever came into existence, the plan was already, your forgiveness was already set. So okay. You were forgiven before you even came into existence.
Okay, so we got one that says we're forgiven before we do anything, and then we got one that says we've forgiven before anything ever happened. Period. Okay? Yes?
What is forgiveness?
I asked the questions. Ask Steve how this works. Yes? Oh, we're only talking about God. That's all we're concerned about. These human people. We work all year. Have you been in our class before, young lady? Yes.
Oh, no. I've been here several times.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that. We're glad to have you. All right. Yes.
In a practical sense, I think forgiveness happens when I learn to forgive myself as God's forgiveness.
Okay, now you're getting deeper than I like to get deep. So that's a good answer. I like that. When are you forgiven? When you ask. Okay, now that's one answer I wanted to hear today.
When you accept it.
When you accept it. Okay.
I was, when you forgive or be forgiven, you have to turn loose of whatever it is you want to be.
Okay, so I cannot be forgiven by God until I forgive myself or forgive somebody. How does that work?
I don't know. I've heard people say, oh, I forgive them. But it's always in the back of my head what happened.
Okay. Yeah, the old I forgive, but don't forget.
Yeah. Turn it loose when you realize that the Lord has forgiven. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I know it's hard.
Okay. I'm going to come back to your question, though, on what is forgiveness, because that's a nice question. I just didn't want to answer it there. Yes?
Early, I believe that, we're all forgiven all our sins at the cross. And when we sin...
Okay. Now, let me finish. Go ahead.
Repentance and forgiveness go hand in hand.
Forgiveness and what?
And repentance and forgiveness go together. And when we sin, I think we feel guilt, we feel shame. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So.
Okay.
Particularly when we sin, even though we're forgiven, God expects us to.
Okay. Confess the sin, especially if we consciously. Who else? Anybody else? Is forgiveness conditional on something that we do?
Yes.
Who said yes? Explain.
I believe that we have to be convicted of our sins and then ask God to forgive us, to accept our plea for forgiveness.
Right.
And be able to make things right. I think, you know, all of these things are true. Everything was put in motion for us to be forgiven, but we have to take a step in that direction by asking forgiveness.
Okay. Appreciate that. Yes.
I agree with this young man here because
Dave. This guy here?
Yes. Dave?
Got to be careful.
Oh, I thought you meant was pointing backwards.
No, I agree with this.
Tell her who you are.
I'm Paul Ruby.
That's Paul. Paul's a nice guy.
I agree with Paul.
His wife's nicer.
I agree because we have to first recognize that that you have sinned. I mean, there are times that you do things. I mean, that was the whole purpose of, I think, the law. Mm-hmm. Even the law of God. I mean, there has to be something that points out that you have sinned. Okay. So you have to have you have to be made aware that you sin, have an opportunity to confess, to know that you have done something wrong, and be made aware of it, confess, and then ask for forgiveness to know that you did something wrong.
Fair enough.
Scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us.
Okay.
All unrighteousness.
Okay.
Not to get too much off on a tangent here, but I've got a question about this whole point of sin and forgiveness. Is it our Christian brothers or sisters' responsibility? Is it their responsibility to point out the sin in our life that we may not recognize that needs to be forgiven?
You know what I like about this class, Trent? Roger gets those questions. Good question, Trent. I'm sure that's the lesson Roger's going to teach us. Man, I was prepared for all day long for repentance, but now we're going to do forgiveness. This is great.
I have another question.
Yes.
Here. So, if you think about forgiveness in another way,
okay. All right. Anybody else want to weigh in? Yes, ma'am.
The question is, I guess, forgiveness, repentance, the acceptance of forgiveness?
Could be. Yes.
What the text said was, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a really meaty text. And I used to think of it as an order. If we do this, then God does this. But we've looked at that to think my mindset has changed. The end is, if you ever find yourself in a place where you need forgiveness, know that it's always been there.
Okay.
Human perspective, we can't force somebody to repent, but we can forgive them.
We're kind of here and see, yeah. Now this is where I get confused, because I got people saying already way back when, before the foundations and before, and other people saying you got to do this, got to do this. So let me draw a picture and then we'll continue to comment. So, what I see, how does this picture of God seem to be working? We got a person that, let's see, curses God. Gets mad in a fit of rage, uses some profanity, curses God. So now God is in heaven, and He's got His book open, and He writes down, let's pick somebody that's big enough to take it. Richard, he's big enough to take this. He writes down, Richard Combs cursed me. So far, are we okay? So now God stands there. Waiting. Not today. Tomorrow. Still waiting for Richard Combs to say, I made a mistake. I cursed you. Please forgive me. And God says, whew, about time, crosses it out. Hey, that's what I was taught growing up. In fact, I was taught to pray, God, forgive me of my sins, and help, and please forgive me of the sins I don't know I committed. Now, am I the only one? No. Right? Forgive me of the ones I know, and forgive me of the ones I don't know. Because it's important to get everything on that book that is open crossed off. And God is sitting here watching in whatever system He uses, and He's waiting to cross off every one of those sins. And then some would like to say He gets amnesia and He never remembers them. Is that your picture of God? Now, you've been dying to say something. You've been very polite.
Well, one of the things that recently, you know, I go, you know, the foundations of the earth are laid, but the other thing you have to throw in the mix is the free will that God has granted everyone. Mm-hmm. The forgiveness is there. And, it, you know, when you took a look at Jesus, what Jesus did, Jesus came to earth to pursue us and says, look, you guys have messed up royally. And there is a plan to pull you guys back into alignment with God, to redeem you and everything else. And here's what the plan is. But He can never, ever take away the free will, because that's what He did. So, in the end, He can say, He can be up there, He writes it, He'll send people to say, look, you made a mistake, you got to correct yourself. But in the end, if the individual says,
Mike,
no, God's going to honor His word and say, you want, you know,
yeah. Do you want to go down that path?
I can put people in front of you. I can put roadblocks in front of you. But what I cannot take away from you is your reason.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to my favorite story. The prodigal. Story about the good father, not the son. Why they named it the prodigal son beyond me. The story is the good father, the good daddy. Boy, you know, he comes to his daddy and says, oh man, I wish you would die. You're not dying fast enough for me, so just give me my inheritance while you're alive so I can get out of this mud hole and go make something of myself. And so he goes on his way. When was that son forgiven by that daddy? Now this question is absolutely important because your picture of God is dependent upon your answer. So think about it. Have you thought about it, Leroy? All right, we got before he ever left. Who else wants to chime in on this one? When was he forgiven? Yes. Okay. Who else wants to chime in? So he was not forgiven until he came to himself in the pig pen. So why in the world? Good question, Eloise. I appreciate that. There is no right and wrong answer in this class. I just kind of tilt one way. Is that a nice way of trying to say, I think my idea is better than, oh, okay, I just didn't know. All right, let's come back to that. That's a good option. By the way, I think a lot of people agree with that. Dr. Coy, and then...
I think there's a close relationship between your first example with the bad language and the prodigal son in the fact that God stood there waiting, but he didn't just do nothing. He sent his Holy Spirit to work, as was said over here. Yes, the Holy Spirit works on our heart, we realize
that. I understand that. That's not the question. When was he forgiven?
He was forgiven before it ever happened, as far as God was concerned. God is willing to forgive anything you ask for.
Yes, ma'am.
If we look at forgiveness as being restored, as being brought back into reconciliation with God, if we look at forgiveness from that viewpoint, I think that God said, okay, the plan is set up that when man falls, restoration will be put into action. We will have a plan to restore this.
Okay.
So before we ever sin, the plan was there.
Okay.
When we
sin, well, there's no doubt the plan was there. The question is, what process is the plan?
I said the forgiveness is a whole process of everything.
Okay. And what?
I think the problem I have is when people tell me, you need to forgive. I can't do that.
Okay.
But I can ask God to place forgiveness in my heart.
All right.
And to heal the broken areas where I was offended, messed up, where I was hurt by whatever action or whatever. I can say, Lord, can you place forgiveness in me so that I can be able to heal somebody? I can't get that up on myself.
Okay. Got it.
That father loved that son so much that when he walked away, Father understood what was going on in his heart and where he was going and the trouble he was going to be in. And it really wasn't a matter of forgiveness. It was, I want you back. Don't go and do this because I love you so much. The bottom line is always love with God.
Okay. How many of you got children, grandkids? How long does it take you to forgive what your grandkid does?
I believe, as in the prodigal son's story, the father was hurting all the time his son is gone. That means there is something still there that he is lacking. When he sees that son coming and he tells him, you're forgiven.
Is that when he forgave him? Did he stand up every day and say, I wish that boy would come home so I could forgive him? Well, some of you are telling me that.
Well, he did say, I wish that boy would come home.
Absolutely. He wished he never left. Yes.
Well, according to, I've heard you tell the story a couple of times, it wasn't, the father probably knew that he wasn't happy there in the family homestead before he ever made his first appeal or request for his inheritance. And the father tried to convince him, maybe on numerous occasions over a period of time, not to make that decision, to think it over again, think carefully about what he was asking. So I think when the father, before the first request was even made, he knew his son well enough to know that he wanted something other than what the dad was willing to provide him. And it must have hurt his feelings to feel that the son wanted to leave. And I think he forgave him from that second all the way through the end and pled with him to not make that bad decision. Like most parents, they want to prevent their children from harming themselves and to be able to pass on lessons that they've learned the hard way. But unfortunately, you have to just let them go and let them make those tough decisions that you know are going to wound them in the short term in order for them to benefit, you know, in the long term.
They're very well spoken. How many of you all, how many have children? How many have grandchildren? How many have great-grandkids? Soon. Now, I don't know how it works in your home, but let me tell you how it works in our home. We have 3 sets of books. Hey, I'm not kidding. We got a set of books for our kids. And every time they mess up, I immediately go and I write in that book what they did wrong. And those grandkids, every time they say, I don't want to do this, you never do anything that I want to do, I go write it in my book. And the great-grandchild, who's 9 years old, who on the way to a Cats game this weekend threw up twice in my car, I write that down in the book. And let me tell you, I review the book every week. And when those kids have not come to me and specifically said, Grandpa, I'm sorry for what I said last Wednesday morning, that stays in that book. Because I can't do anything with those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids till they come and ask me for forgiveness, and then I cross it out when they have forgiveness. What kind of relationship do you think I have with my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchild? Pardon? That's what they say? Then why would you put God in that situation? Who's forgiveness for? Who benefits from forgiveness? God or us? Who benefited for forgiveness? The boy or his daddy?
The boy.
The boy. Let me tell you, the daddy represents your heavenly Father. And when that boy came and said, I want to go, it was he prayed and he talked and he pleaded. He did everything. But finally, as he came, and this gentleman's right, free will, he had to honor the free will. But it was with a broken heart, with tears, and he never stopped loving that child. And his forgiveness was not based upon what the child did. Because he says, I knew you before you were even created. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. And I'm not surprised on anything that you do. I love you, and no matter what you do, you're my child. Now the boy... Y'all like proof from the Bible for all this?
Yes.
You know, I always like when the Bible backs up my theology. It makes me feel good, you know. How far did the boy get with his confession? Do you understand? The daddy never heard a word of it. Do you get that? It's absolutely important to get that. Why didn't he hear it? He was too busy. He was too busy hugging him, kissing him, telling the servants to go get shoes and put it on his feet. My son, look at his clothes. I feel sorry for him. Somebody go get him my best clothes and put it on. And he's too busy putting together a party, a celebration. He never heard what the boy started to say. Why? Because some of you are saying it was important for him to stand there and the boy pull out his notes and say, Father, what a word, instead of Daddy. Father, I have sinned. I am not worthy to be in your family. So please let me be a servant in your house. And if I'm good enough, I can eventually work my way back up into the family. Please forgive me. And then the daddy says, oh, finally, finally, I can go. Honey, go get the book I've been keeping on my son, and I can cross that one out. Wow, what a picture of God. No wonder people run from God. How many of you don't raise your hand? How many of you... Man, y'all should have just picked repentance. Repentance is not an emotional thing. I'm sorry, I've dedicated my life to this message of God. Because I firmly believe that people don't know God. Repentance, not emotional about that. See? Your children cannot do anything to keep you from loving them, can they? Dale Carnegie, in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, begins his whole book with the story of the mother of a mobster who had killed, I think, 18 people. And he's going to death in the death chamber, and her last words, "That's my little boy. Well, he couldn't hurt anybody." You see, you can't do anything for normal. Now, there are people that are idiots. But for normal, your kids and grandkids and great-grandchild can't do anything that keeps you from loving and forgiving them, and they don't even have to think about it. That's your father. Oh, his heart's broken. He pleads. He has tears running down his eyes. He's sad. Forgiveness is not for God. You're forgiven. Forgiveness is for you. You have to understand how I've hurt God. I do not like to tell this story, but I think if it shows a point, then I've got to tell it, and just stay with me on it. I'm not proud of it one bit. 1962, I was at Keene. There were four boys, and we decided that we were going to go drinking. And I had not drank. I think I drank one time and everything, but just appealed to me. And so we figured out we were pretty smart. We figured out exactly the way to do it so we wouldn't get caught. We snuck out of the dorm about 12 o'clock at night. And we had a couple of cases of beer. And we were going to go out in the country. And we were going to drink all night, then sleep it off and come back to the dorm. Now you see why I hesitate to tell this story. So we did fine till about 5 o'clock in the morning. And then we got hungry. And then it seemed logical to go into Cleburne and get some food. Well, the place was closed. And so it seemed logical to holler for somebody to come and open up the place. And the police department was only two blocks away. And the owner did not come and open up the place, but the police came. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting in a jail cell. And the dean of men came and got us. They didn't press charges. And so, long story short, I had to make a public apology in front of the entire school congregation, which wasn't a meal. Wasn't a problem. I thought that was kind of fun. But I got suspended for 3 weeks. And so now I've got to call my dad. My dad was an engineer on Southern Pacific Railroad, so I could ride trains free. So getting from Fort Worth to El Paso wasn't a problem. So I called him up. Clex, you know, back then he had most of his cell phones. Crap like that. Called him up, talked a little bit, and I said, "Well, Daddy, I got something I got to tell you." "What's that?" "I've been suspended from school for 3 weeks." "Never forget." He says, "What did you do this time?" I mean, this is my third suspension in 3 years. And I said, "Well, I got caught drinking." There was a pause. And he said, "Oh, Ernie," says, "I could believe that you'd do most anything. I just can't believe you did that. When are you going to arrive?" And I said, "Well, I'll be home tomorrow morning at such and such a time." And I hung up the phone. And I ran up to my room. Back then, you just had a payphone. I ran up to my room, fell across my bed, and cried. I wasn't sorry for getting caught drinking. At that stage in my life, everything I did, I said, "What's the worst thing can happen? This one was get kicked out of school. I could accept that, and so I went and did it. I was mortified on the hurt that I had caused my daddy, because I felt that hurt. Not anger. I felt that hurt. So I go home. Next morning, my dad and my mom are down there to greet me. You know, I'm just waiting for the world to collapse and nothing said. So I get home and I sit down in the living room chair, and my daddy comes in and says, "Hey, here's $2. And I said, "What for?" He says, "You know, I don't approve of drinking, but if you've just got a drink, here's $2. Go down to the store, buy some beer, come home, drink it here." Looked at him. I said, "Daddy, I would never do that to you." Got up and hugged him. He hugged me. And for 3 weeks, went in gathering. That was the time of in gathering. Misled the people where all of our in-gathering funds go. I swapped drinking beer for kind of misleading people what we did with the in-gathering money. And it was never mentioned. When do you think my daddy forgave me?
Probably when you were born.
Has really been wonderful. Lynn, appreciate you. Come in, sing happy birthday, and then, yeah. When did he forgive me?
Probably at least before you moved.
You see, he always loved me. Was he hurt? Yes, I felt that hurt. He was waiting for no confession. We forget the big picture. God is not keeping records one by one, iota by iota, dot by dot. He wants our heart. My daddy just wanted me to understand. And he's all he sought. And he said, "Here's $2. He knew what I knew. I would not have done that to my daddy. Your God created you. He knows you before you were even born. He's not surprised. You can do nothing to earn His love. Nothing. Because He loves you as much as He can possibly love you. You can do nothing to earn His forgiveness. Because His forgiveness is His nature, His character. Forgiveness is for us. Not ever from God. We keep saying that God's got to be reconciled. Let me tell you, we need to understand God. God is never reconciled to us. How can He be? He loved us, He created us. And His greatest desire, His greatest plan is to work with us through every step of our journey so we can spend eternity with Him. Not keeping a record. Santa Claus keeps a record of who's nice and nice, who's nice and naughty. Not God. By the way, in the drinking story, did I show repentance? What did I repent from? Getting caught by the school? There it is. Pardon? Oh, I hurt my daddy. I hurt my daddy. I would die before I'd let somebody hurt my daddy. And that's what I did to him. Watch repentance. So when Joseph said the Potiphar's wife threw herself at him, and he said, "How can I do this? What? against my God. Because he knows if he went with Potiphar's wife, it was God's heart that would be broken. What the world is looking for, in my opinion, and I've got a new saying. I used it last week. A lot of you didn't catch it, so I'm going to use it again. Then I'll close. There are a lot of people in this world that can preach the gospel better than Rob and I. I don't believe there's anybody in the world that can preach a better gospel than Rob and I. Do you see the difference? People are hurting, crying. They're wondering if they're forgiven. What do I have to do for forgiveness? How can I do this? How can I be forgiven? No wonder. Look what we do to God. Well, I'm sorry, he hadn't crossed that off his list yet. Tell him who he is. He loves you, forgives you, wants you before even you arrived. That's forgiveness. Father in heaven, I only can share with you what you've done in my life. It's not been a good journey at times, but one thing about it, I never doubted that you loved me. I've known how much I broke your heart and how I've disappointed you, but you were always there with me and you let me know. And that is the only reason I'm here today. Thank you for who you are in Jesus' name.